It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore NPR's best college podcasts in America with more than 500 entries. And one of the 10 finalists is a UW-Madison student. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jack Oley is a senior, double majoring in mechanical engineering and communication arts. The podcast he entered is called All Good Things. Jack, welcome to the Ideas Network and congratulations.
Thank you, Kate. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so how do your majors inform what you did with your podcast?
Yeah, so I think the engineering and the communication arts are really my two passions, and I'm always looking to combine them because they're really different in school, right? I got a lot of different stuff going on. So when I looked to like the podcast, I was hoping to make a podcast where I could channel kind of my interest in mechanical design, but, you know, still have it in the communication arts realm of podcasting and writing and things like that. So I kind of turned and pivoted to look at old technologies and kind of the evolution of technologies, some that I have learned in class and some outside of class, and then make that into a podcast to kind of, you know, educate people on the technologies of the past, the present, and then the future.
So it sounds like this podcast was a bit of a creative release for you. Like, how did you learn how to put a podcast together?
Yeah, so I learned how to podcast. I've been listening to podcasts almost my whole life, really since sixth grade. But I learned a podcast in a course here at UW-Madison called Sound Cultures and Podcasting. And that's where I learned about the production, the business side of podcasting, and was really introduced to the software and kind of how to go about the process of actually making one.
What draws you to make one versus just consuming the ones you love?
You know, I think I am a maker at heart. I think that's really why I'm both an engineer and a communication arts student. I like to produce things. I like to tell stories through my art, whether that be like a designed object or a script. And I think a podcast is a great medium to do that in.
So in NPR's announcements of the finalist, there was definitely a stress about the distinction in between scoring and just, you know, adding music as a layer to the bed of the podcast. How did you approach scoring and music?
Yeah, to me, the rules are pretty specific on that, which I found really interesting. And it had to be a lot of your own music or free music to use out there on the internet. And I think to me, music and just kind of like sound effects and everything is really crucial to a podcast and kind of what can distinguish it from radio in some ways, but also just to distinguish it from any other artistic medium. Building that soundscape, building that world that you can really be immersed in is something that I think is really essential to podcasting. So I really tried to focus on that and I really enjoy doing the sound engineering aspect of that when making my podcast.
And as you said, you've called sound design one of your favorite aspects of the podcast. Let's listen to a portion of your submission when you're explaining the similarities between piano keyboards and the first typewriter keyboards.
These literary pianos had 14 black keys, each with a single letter reading from right to left.
E, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J.
And 14 white keys, starting with the letter O and reading from left to right.
O-P-Q-R-S-T-U-V-W.
So why did this change?
I love that. I love the layers. And, you know, of course, I just want to know, where did you find those artificial QWERTY sounds?
Yeah. you know what? I think that was just a quick Google. I was like, what, you know, what can make like a rope? In my mind, I was like, okay, keyboard, you know, like a piano keyboard. So that's where the piano came from in the background there. But then the voice was more like, well, it's a technology, but it's a technology that's typing like words, right? So what is something that can speak that sounds, you know, kind of like a robot?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then in terms of the scoring of it, did you find original music? How did you find the actual music to layer?
Yeah, in the podcast class, we were actually given resources for free sound effects, free music, just websites that had it open source, which was awesome. And that, you know, I couldn't have made the music aspect of it without that. So those resources within the course really helped me kind of discover and figure out how to go about using the music properly and crediting the proper people.
We have UW-Madison senior Jack Oley with us, mechanical engineering and communication arts double major, podcast called All Good Things. It's a finalist in NPR's College Podcast Challenge. Call in with a question. You can add your thoughts to the discussion, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.
WPR is proud to bring you the latest news and information about the spring general elections scheduled for Tuesday, April 2nd. To find out how to register, where to vote, how to vote absentee, and more, go to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov is maintained by the State of Wisconsin Elections Commission.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. NPR names 10 finalists in its third annual National Podcasting Challenge for college students. A UW-Madison mechanical engineering student represents the best of college podcasting this year, and we talked with Jack Oley about his podcast called All Good Things. Call in with a question. You can add your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jack, so as you researched the history of various technologies, did Wisconsin-made technologies influence your podcast?
I think that really influenced the first podcast I made, you know, with the keyboard, the QWERTY keyboard kind of being influenced and created by a Kenosha resident. I think that would kind of encourage me to do that first. I think it's always fun to have something that's, you know, homegrown, and it added an additional interest for me.
Absolutely. What did you learn, or how did you go about exploring a podcast about a keyboard? Because you could continue to research and research and research and add layers and layers of details. When did you know how to stop?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was the time constraint for the NPR competition, because it had to be between 3 and 8 minutes. And if you notice, mine's kind of on the shorter side. And that's because when I added more to it and I made it a little longer, I kind of got out of scope of the main focus of what I was talking about. And I really just tried to hit the key points, kind of the key historical facts in that short 3 minute segment. In the future, I'm hoping to have a little longer form podcast, which, you know, can dive more in depth and cover more information. But in the case of the keyboard, I just kept it short.
In terms of an audience, what length holds the interest of an audience? Is there kind of a magic amount of time, do you think, or does it vary?
I think for the kind of podcasts I'm going for, at least the ones I listen to that are like All Good Things, it's really kind of like a 10 to 20, really a 15 minute range where you can really hold the attention of the audience and they can retain the information. I feel like any more time than that and so many facts and dates are getting thrown at you that you kind of lose track and lose scope of what the podcast is talking about.
Who are your biggest influences in podcasting? Who do you crush on?
I think for All Good Things, you know, with the soundscape and everything, I was heavily influenced by Radiolab and 99% Invisible. Those were two I really drew from. And I listened to early on back when I was in sixth grade, and I continue to listen to this day. I just love those podcasts. I think they're fantastic.
Radiolab, to me, too. I mean, it is such a, you go on just such a journey with your ears. You really lead with your ears. Is that kind of what draws you to as well, that you just never know what you might hear next? And it's really kind of fast.
Yeah, I really love that about Radiolab. I also think the topics they choose are so interesting. And I'll just be walking down the street one day and see something and be like, oh, I remember that episode from 10 years ago. That's about this. And I just think that the tying the soundscape with these interesting themes and concepts really helps them stick with me, at least.
Okay, so, and then 99% Invisible, you must be a fan of Roman Mars.
I am, yes.
All right, well, tell us why.
Well, I mean, I think like most people, I love his voice. I think his voice is fantastic. I also think 99PI, you know, coming from the engineering background as well as the communication arts, I think the design aspect of that podcast is really appealing to me. And learning about, you know, things in the design that you walk past every day, but you might, you know, not appreciate, and then learn to appreciate them through the podcast is just really rewarding and really enjoyable to listen to.
I think you would have a leg up as a mechanical engineer and having all these communication skills in your toolbox. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how you look at it, right? Because it's, in some engineers don't view that as something that's important. I think it's something that's, you know, essential, at least to my existence. I believe that when I walk into a classroom and study film, or I walk into a classroom and study, you know, heat transfer, it's two different sides of my brain, but I'm, you know, I'm the same person. So I'm trying to make myself well-rounded, and I'm just kind of trying to be curious in all aspects of my life.
What did you learn about yourself as a writer through this project?
I learned, that's a great question. I think I learned writing for radio and podcasting is much different, I felt like, than writing for the screen. In terms of especially with the sound effects and everything, writing those cues and writing it. I feel like when I put pen to paper, though, I generally have a good idea of what I want it to sound like, and it's just trying to get it there through either the dialogue or the sound effects.
But you have to be able to hear your voice and be able to hear kind of yourself in a conversational way that's not stilted. And I would imagine that, too, is a process. I mean, we all have to grapple with that as well when we're trying to write scripts.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think it's difficult to kind of distance yourself from the thing I've made. I went back and listened to the All Good Things, this episode I submitted just about last week, and I was hearing things. I was like, I should have changed that. I should have done this. I wish I had more time. It's hard to, you know, just put the thing down and be done with it.
I'd imagine. I think authors go through that too when they read their book again, or, you know, I've heard about making edits like in the bookstore or something like that. So, you know, were there bigger challenges you faced during production? You know, the time element is one thing you bring up.
Yeah, I think that the time was really difficult. Doing this kind of like Sonicscape, adding all these elements, it took a lot of time to find the right ones. I was really picky with what kind of sound, like the in the clip you played, I had the piano in the background, the classical piano. Probably took me, you know, 4 hours just to find that one 30-second segment, because I really had a specific thing in mind. I wanted it to be just piano, wanted to have a high tempo, so it kind of kept the story moving, but I didn't want it to be staccato, so it would break in with my speech. So I think the time was the biggest constraint I had. The other one, I think number two would be just kind of the type of music I use, you know, only using free music or music made by myself. I kind of had to limit the use of what I maybe thought in my head.
Do you play an instrument?
I do, yes. I play trombone.
Ah, okay. We're talking about a podcast producing with Jack Oley. We're getting into the weeds here. UW-Madison Senior NPR's College Podcast Challenge finalist. Call in questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You know, Jack, something I too grapple with is trying to find really good ideas that are good enough to bring to air. Pitches, you know, continually are something that I have to grapple with. How do you go about finding ideas for your podcast?
I think it's less of like trying to look for ideas, but more, you know, letting the ideas come to me. I'm not on the lookout. It's more I'm just sitting back. I cast my reel and I let things happen. So I'm walking through my everyday and I'm not thinking, what's my next idea? What's my next idea? It's more just like I'm walking through my everyday and it's like, oh, that would be cool. Or this is cool. I sat down earlier today and I was thinking about the keyboard as a podcast. And I was like, well, you know, our computer screens are rectangular. That's something else where it's like, oh, interesting. Why, you know, why is that? Why aren't they, you know, vertical or circular or something like that?
What are your tips for people new to podcasting who want to submit to like a podcast, to NPR's podcast competition?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend to listen to, not just mine, but all the finalists. I think they're all fantastic and they're all a great representation of what students can do in podcasting, at least at this time. And other than the student podcast, just listen to the podcast you like and things you're interested in. I think one of the biggest ways you can get involved in the medium is to just kind of immerse yourself in it and understand where it's going and what people have done with it.
Do people have an idea just how much time it takes to put one together?
I don't think so. I don't think I did, Kate. I know you listen to Radiolab and some of those episodes are as short as, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and then some, you know, some are longer form, but you listen to it and you don't realize that it's all the work it takes for the, you know, the researching, the interviewing, the recording, the post-processing, all this kind of stuff. It takes a lot of time.
How did you do that and fit it into your schedule as a double major? How did you make that balance work?
Yeah, that was difficult. The answer in this case was winter break. So I had a lot of free time over break, so I was able to really make this what I wanted it to be. Outside of that, it was helpful to have that class where I had the baseline. So I was already standing on level ground when I started building this podcast. I understood the technique, so I didn't have to learn how to record sound or anything like that.
Did you have any influence from professors, or did you get any feedback along the way as you were putting it together?
Yeah, I think my professor in podcasting, Professor Jeremy Morris, he was a great influence, and it really helped. He really helped me, understand the history of podcasts, but also, the production side, the business side of things, in the course.
What is the business side of podcasting like? What did they tell you? Because that has had some, ups and downs as of late.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Not, I don't think any students in the class, were trying to make it full time at podcasting, at least, at the time of the class. So it's not like he was advising them on any major financial decisions. But it was more so, trying to make a marketable podcast that can distinguish itself, because, anyone can make a podcast at this point. So you need to make one that's a little unique, and then make it so that you'll have a viewership and a faithful viewership. People keep coming back to listening to it.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for the conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Jack Oley is a senior at UW-Madison, finalist in NPR's College Podcast Challenge. His entry is called All Good Things. Check it out. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.